that's a special trait to be coachable. And so it's a special relationship. You have to almost succumb to your coach and let them hand yourself over so they can say, left, right, stop doing this, or look at this part of your life. You got to get all of that stuff out.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus. And we are back today with the second half of our discussion with Zach Ullman. Zach, welcome back to the show.
Oh, man. Excited to be back. You ready to jump into this conversation?
If you missed the first conversation with Zach, it's very much worth going back and listening to. If you have this downloaded, go back and download the first one first and go through it. Because I know sometimes when I'm listening to podcasts, I find one I like and I listen to them backwards. And sometimes things get out of order that way. But the first half will definitely lead into the second half. So we've been talking about coaching and how it can help high performers succeed more. And from my experience, when I started working with a coach, I didn't know many doctors or really even any doctors who worked with a coach. And the doctors I know now who work with a coach all came through the coaching world that I got to know them rather than the other way around. And we were talking a lot about the benefits of a coach. And I think one of the best explanations I ever heard was, did Peyton Manning have a coach?
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's hard. That was the one that was hard for me to argue with. Did Michael Jordan have a coach? Okay. All right. There's pretty good arguments. So Zach, we're talking about coaching and the benefits, but somebody says, okay, maybe my life isn't perfect. Or, man, my life's great and I want to take it to the next level and I don't know where to go and I'm going to look at a coach. What are the things in trying to find a coach that's right for you or just the whole process? Like somebody had a checklist. All right, here's the things I'm going to do to go find a coach.
Yeah. So this is a conversation I have just all the time because I see in the coaching world, there's these high ticket programs, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000+. And they're in it to sell and make money. And what I see a lot of times is people get sold that shouldn't be sold. I'm a big on framework, mental frameworks. And so what I do is I tell people, first off, you have to understand where you're going. What are you doing? Right. I'm so big on that. And then what I say is start off with free. Go out into YouTube, go out into Google, understand the mechanics, the pieces, the vocabulary, so you can become fluent in the conversation. And you may not even like it. Like a lot of people I talk with that want to become real estate investors, specifically the people that want to do it more actively, like the wholesaling and the fix and flip, I go, here, go watch some of this free stuff I made to make sure you're like fully committed to this. And so some of them are like, yeah, I get it. Another one's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize it was that intense. I don't want to do this anymore. And then that way they didn't have to spend all this time and money finding out it wasn't for them. And so I say, start off for free, get an understanding of the industry that you're trying to learn more about, and then go buy some entry level stuff. Typically, it's going to be content, right? It's going to be, okay, this is this. This is what this is called. This is why we do this, videos and books type stuff. And then you work your way, make your progression into more of what we call group coaching, where it's coaching on, hey, I read this in the book or I watched this in the video and I don't understand it. Help me understand. Again, now we're up a little bit more in price, but my goal is to save people money and not jumping straight into the deep end. And so then if they keep liking it, okay, understand. Now we have a solid foundation. We understand the vocabulary. We understand the principles. We understand the basics. Now I'm going to buy a higher end mastermind for strategy. And then that person is going to tell me which puzzle piece to use, when and how, and understand the reasoning, how to put this, build this puzzle together. Very few times advocate one-on-one coaching for tactical strategies, meaning such as real estate investing. I run a morning call every morning, been doing it for 8+ years, 40 to 80 people, and we learn so much because we have a variety of full-time, part-time, entry level. And the value in the educational experience is far more than I could ever deliver one-on-one. Now, the people I work one-on-one with, they've sharpened that blade a little bit. And now we're very tactical, very strategy, or maybe it's more personal development, private stuff they got going on in their life that they don't want the world to share. And so we work up in that, I call it the mastermind matrix. And that's a training I did on it. And so it helps you understand, ease into it, because here's what I've learned. You need at least two mentors in the world. You need one that has everything you want. They're going to show you the direction. And then you need one that's a step ahead of you to show you the steps. Because the grand vision, the guy that has everything you want, they don't have the time to tell you how to create a podcast and what button to push and what to say. They just say, well, that's the direction. Get going. And then you got somebody in front of you, the one step in front of you, that's saying, yeah, Zach, push this button, say that, and do this. And this is the mechanical process I learned, right? And so I put those two together, and that's how I've really accomplished what I've accomplished.
Wow, that's a great perspective I haven't heard before. And I guess maybe some of that I went through just from the standpoint of trying not to throw too much money at the problem right away. And there is usually like free courses you can sign up for.
Yeah.
And often the free course comes with a sales pitch, just so people know.
It's always an upsell. There's always the next thing. Yeah. If you go into that knowing it, and if they provide good quality stuff, it's totally worth it. I'm always buying stuff. I'm always buying stuff because what it does is a shortcut. And so specifically with business and real estate, what I'm buying is their process, right? They went and they understood how to do something. Maybe it's find off-market properties. Maybe it's how to raise money or whatever. And so you could know it theoretically, conceptually, but like, how do you actually find a house? Like, what's the step by step by step by step process? Most people don't know. And so what I do is I buy that step by step process from somebody. I understand it. I go, okay, I don't like that. I'm going to tweak this. And then I just saved a bunch of trial and error that would have cost me time and money. I just paid $97 for something, or $200 or $1,000 that just shaves off that learning curve. And then it's very methodical. Like you were talking about the doctor earlier. It's do this, then this, then this, then this, then that. It's step by step. The challenge is people won't do the steps because they're afraid.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, and it's a lot like learning a surgery, that you learn the steps and you learn how to do the steps. But if you look back, if I look back 20 years ago, I didn't operate the way I operate now. And as you know the steps, then you start to fine tune it because you learn new things. You fine tune it to the way you like to do it, but you need the basics first.
Right. Just like I imagine a surgery, it's like, don't do this because this. I do this because of this. It's like you're giving them the game plan. And in the world of business, somebody will pay you for that if you can document it correctly. And that's what a lot of these programs are.
Okay. I'm thinking about a lot of the free. And if somebody doesn't know what we're talking about, just go in LinkedIn and type something that you want to learn about. And if you don't find somebody who's got a free course for you, somebody's going to reach out to you to sign you up for a free course that they're going to upsell something. But you can sign up for a bunch of those. And what you're going to find is, as you go through them, and if you know going in, I'm going to get pitched something and I might buy it down the road, but probably not today. You can go through until you find somebody who you click with and you're like, I like the way this person talks. I'm going to pay them. I'm going to buy the $90 course or the $500 course, or maybe it's more. And there's your next step. And you learn those, at least the vocabulary, before you start buying the higher dollar.
Right. Because you can start a program for people that wanted to be a surgeon, market to $50,000. I buy it and I was 8 years premature or whatever. Right. And so that's what I see a lot of times in the world of real estate and business, is they buy these big high-end ticket programs prematurely. And they typically only last 6 to 12 months. So when we boil it down to the one-on-one coaches, my one-on-one coaches is, she doesn't let me get away with anything, absolutely nothing. And I love her that. I told her, I said, I got a big vision. I got big goals. Don't ever be afraid to tell me something. Oh man, some days I regret it. But it takes a special individual to just call it like it is. And like, I'm going to tell a little on myself. On Friday, she goes, Zach, you sound like a 12-year-old crying to me right now. And I was like, oh, because I was upset about, I had to let somebody go. I had to remove somebody from one of my businesses. Those times are always hard for me. But I give her permission to talk to me like that because I want to go fast. I was like, don't sugarcoat it. I've been through a lot of personal development. I can take it. It may take a moment for the sting to wear off, but I get the communication. And that's a special trait to be coachable, because I actually interview people to work with them as my clients, because I can see things, but if you don't let it in, I can make no difference. And so it's a special relationship. You have to almost succumb to your coach and let them hand yourself over so they can say left, right, stop doing this, or look at this part of your life. This area of your life isn't working. And that's where most people don't want to look. Most people don't want to look behind the couch and under the bed where their life doesn't work. And until you can deal with all of those aspects of your life that doesn't work, you're polishing a turd. You're trying to polish a turd because you got to get all of that stuff out.
That's so interesting. And it's funny, even when I started investing in real estate passively, it was all mindset stuff that held me back. I started off like a fourplex, and then I decided I was going to invest in syndications, and I bought a course and I learned all the stuff. And then I froze up, and like 2 months later, I was like, oh, I don't trust any of these people. And I couldn't get past it. And finally, I'm like, well, you got to buy something, win or lose, or you're never going to do this. So I actually went out and I checked all the online platforms because I'm like, until I do it, I'm not going to see these things. They don't sink in. And so I found like the lowest minimum for property. And like,
we're going to buy something to understand the process, right?
To understand the process. And that if it would totally blew up, I would feel it and I would remember it. Because now it wasn't just a textbook thing. And I think my only criteria were, all right, it's got to be in a state that in my mind is business tenant friendly. So I checked off all the states that in my mind were bad states. And I can't say I did that much research into that. And then I found somebody who was doing like a $20,000 minimum on a syndication, because sometimes they're 50 or 100.
Right.
I said, all right. Luckily, I was a surgeon. I was the true, accredited investor. I got enough money. I'm investing money I can lose.
You spend 20 grand. It's like, oh yeah, that's what a program would cost.
It was a little bit. I'm like, okay, I'm going to remember this investment. Yeah. And the great thing is that one is they had a great story and interest rates were low and it was going to be these high returns. Uh-huh. And actually, they were one of the ones who got caught with a variable rate.
Ooh, yeah.
And as rates change, but I give them credit and I got lucky because I didn't really understand it, looking through their whole plan, what might be wrong. But I remember it now that as soon as rates changed, they saw where they were and what the impact could be. And they started marketing it like the next day.
Oh, and trying to cash it out.
And so it went under contract like three times before they finally got it sold. And instead of being a 20% IRR, I think it was 11.
Okay.
But hey, pretty good learning experience to make 11% on your mistake that you learned from. So, but that was for me, like I had to dive in and like go do it. And I think a lot of people, you learn all the stuff, but until you pull the trigger, and maybe that's part of where the coach is.
I'm the same way. It's like I was analysis paralysis. And I was just like, I just want to ride somebody's coattails. Like, just show me the paperwork. I understand the math, but show me the paperwork and what don't I see? And so I've been in the coaching industry, both a student and a coach for kind of going on 15 years. And what I've learned, this is just over the last year, is it's tough to take somebody from nothing to doing their, it's tough. And so I've shifted sort of the mindset. I said, I only work with people that have assets. And there's two people I work with. Either you have no money or you have money and income. If you have money and income, I have a financial services firm. They hire me. We do their finances because it's always such a hard challenge to find a bookkeeper and CPA and all that. And so I tell them, say, think of me as your personal CFO. Anything finance, I'm your guy. I'll help you understand your taxes. My team will do them. We can buy businesses. We can buy real estate. So that way you can focus on what you're great at, which is making money. In your craft of, in your case, doctors. So the doctors would hire me and say, okay, Zach, you're my personal CFO on anything. I'm my master there. I'm like, this is a great deal. Here's why it's a great deal. This is the risk. And I explain it all to them. And either they do it or they don't, as opposed to trying to become the expert themselves. I mean, I got 20 years in this. I got just endless amounts of education, just like doctors have endless amounts of education in their craft. And so I do the same thing in my business. I hire people that are experts. I know surface level on some of this stuff, but a lot of these people, I'm like, okay, you're the pro. You tell me what I need to do, right? You advise me. And that's through my wisdom and my experience and my coaching, I get to have the ultimate decision, just like my clients, but that's a much quicker way. So those are people with income and assets. They can actually do something if we actually go out and find them a deal. And then there's people that don't have that. And what I have them focus on is becoming a pro at sales and marketing, because there's no other way to make money, right? I was the most socially awkward individual anyone's ever seen. I'd break out in a sweat. I'd stutter. I'd stammer. My mind would go blank. I was fearful of other people because just, I don't know, but obviously my society and all that stuff. And so it took me so much to get on my own way. I was a finance guy by trade because I heard, well, that's where the money's at. I understand finance. I was published author, very good at it. But that did not equate to money, not the type of money I wanted. And so it wasn't until I became great at sales and marketing that the money started coming in. I'm like, oh, this is what I need to learn. And so if you don't have money in the bank or you're not a high income earner, you have to become a high income earner. And the highest income earning skill set out there is sales and marketing, right? And so once you understand the concepts, the principles, real estate is the product that you're marketing to buy and or sell. And sales is the art of getting it under contract and dispositioning it and all of that. And so those are the two people I focus on. And then the people that have, I train them in sales and marketing, I partner with them. And then I have them bring the deals for the people with the money. Right. And so I've created that community. And that's what,
well, that's awesome.
That's why I'm on a call every day. And so I'm like, Mike, you're a high income earner. You do not need to learn how to find your own properties. It would be a waste of your time, because the opportunity cost of your time of trying to get such a huge discounted property, your craft is, you could have made 10 times that, right? In your craft, whatever it is, in your case, a surgeon. I got these people over here that don't have the money you have, but they got the time, right? They're going to go find you the properties, and I'm going to train them. I'm going to help you. And so I've created this ecosystem, this community that everybody gets fed. They make money, you get make money, I get a piece of it, right?
That's awesome. I think about when you were talking about what you offer from like that fractional CFO, is that, I don't know if that's what you call it. That was the term.
That's what most people understand it as.
Okay. Yeah. But it's like a CFO of your life. But
yeah, of your life. Because I've helped people with their businesses, and their businesses are great, but their personal finances suck, right?
Well, a number of accountants I've had over the years that I'm like, hey, I'm paying a ton in taxes. What can I do more? And they're like, contribute to your 401k.
Buy a car.
All they had. And you go for anything more. And that's really, I don't know. I don't think most accountants, they're not really trained in finance. They're trained in putting the things in the right column. But finding that person as a high income earner, as a surgeon out there, most don't. I mean, I felt like I was looking, and now I look back and I'm like, holy cow, that should have been like on a checklist. Like, here's the people you got to put on your team right away. And you get your first job and you ask your partner, your boss, you're like, who's your accountant? They hook you up with somebody down the street.
The accounting industry, it's tough right now. One of the firms I used to refer people to, they're going out of business. They're very well known. And I just read an article, 300,000 accounting professionals are leaving the industry. Finance is much different in accounting. For you guys listening, I say finance is the same. Finance is math. 2 + 2 = 4. It's the same everywhere. In the world, you can't argue it, it's finance, right? Now, some of it's very theoretical in nature, but tax is, well, what day is it? Who's in charge? And so tax is a man-made constraint. And so you always have to be keeping up to date on tax. And that's why we have our own tax team, because I had the same problem. You go to a CPA number one and they don't know everything, right? Obviously, none of us do. And so I'm like, okay. And then I go to CPA number two and they say, well, he's not doing this, let me do this. And then you go to CPA number three and they're not doing this, let me do this. And next thing you know, it's like, oh my God. And then the bookkeepers, they mess up the books. I've been through the world of financial services when it comes to bookkeeping, CPA. And I know very few people that are happy with them. The challenge is, what else are you going to do? Got to do it. And so I've taken that on as like a full service. I'm like, I'll help you with your finances. Because when I help people with their finances, my biggest challenge is getting up-to-date books, right? So I can help them make those financial decisions. And I just said, I'm tired of waiting. So I started doing the book work. We're starting a tax. We're bringing in our own CPAs. And so it's like, I'm a one-stop shop for everybody. And then you don't have to get sold on things. Because a lot of these people, if you go talk to a life insurance person, what do you need? You need life insurance. If you talk to a stockbroker, what are they going to sell you? They're going to sell you some stocks. And that may not always be the best thing for what you need or who you are and all of that. And so that's why I've just really taken on the aspect of, hey, I'm going to be full service, anything you need. And I have a financial model that helps us run projections 10, 20 years out so we can see the impacts of their decisions today And then we let the numbers decide on the decision-making process as opposed to guts, my instincts, or they're my neighbor's friend, or they're referred to me by my boss. Okay, cool. What's the number say, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's awesome. When you're talking about buying businesses, because this was one that I think is not a pathway that especially a lot of docs have looked at as far as something that's a potential investment. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, in my opinion, I'd rather buy a business than a piece of real estate. Let me put a caveat there. I make money in business. I store it in real estate, right? And so we got to clarify that. Because if you go buy a rental property, you can only squeeze so much income out of it. A business is exponential, right? And you could take a business from 10 grand this month to 20 grand next month to 30 grand the next month to 40 grand the next month just from skill set and knowledge, right? And experience. You can't do that with real estate. So what I say is, like, that's why I do private equity and we buy these businesses and start these businesses. We just launched one, 100 grand our first month. Like, and then I took that money and we went and bought some real estate for tax advantages and wealth, right? Storing that. You can't take a piece of property from zero to 100 grand. Like, impossible. And so understanding what tool gets you where. And so if your practice is making a lot of money, we'll consider you need to store it in real estate for the wealth accumulation and the tax benefits. A lot of the doctors I work with, if they have the right setup, they can pay nothing in taxes, even if they have a W-2. Now, everything has to fall in line and they can work into that. But there's just so many things out there that you need to understand depending on your personal circumstances.
So if a doc was like, okay, I'm a doctor now, I got a high income, I see Medicare cutting rates every year, as every doctor feels this downward pressure on their earning, and okay, I want to go have another business. But you're coming into it going, okay, I'm not going to go back to business school. Or what's the process they should look at for something like that?
I would say do something you understand. Like, I love online service businesses. Because we literally have the same process come in. We have our same CRM we use for everything. We have our same task management operations software we use. Everything's the same. And then we just change the variables for the business because I look for businesses that I understand. I understand the sales process, the marketing, the operations, and the finance. And so those were businesses that I was in. And so it's very easy for me to come in and go, no, no, no. Yes, I see potential. Let's get some seller financing type stuff. As opposed to, I would never go into a medical business. It's beyond the capacity that I have. I don't want to have to go learn that. But if you're already a doctor, the question is, okay, if you're, let's say you're an expert at, I don't know, like, oh my gosh, like your hand, because it's right in front of me, right? Because I know there's doctors that only work on the hand, right?
Yes.
And so it's like, okay, that's your expertise. Maybe there's somebody that's selling a business that makes something you like in that arena, like a certain tool or a certain software to manage your clients, or I don't know. Because if you understand it, the risk goes way down. And so it's like, well, yeah, I actually buy this product, right? And maybe there's now in the medical world, that's a little bit, I imagine, more high ticket because you get some very expensive valuations. But in my world, it's bookkeeping firms, it's CPA firms, it's educational firms, it's stuff like that. People that are selling a service, low risk for me because the delivery is by software, by people. And so there's not a whole lot of fixed asset costs that, in my opinion, is risk. And then it's just an understanding of, okay, do I understand the business? Do I understand what they're doing? And then finding somebody great to run it. If you're a high income earning doctor, you do not want to take your time and attention off that high income earning opportunity. And so you want to find somebody that you can buy these turnkey businesses out there.
So where do you find a business for sale? Is that, I go on Google and go business for sale.
There's business brokers just like real estate agents. They sell them, right? The best deals where we shop is off market, just like real estate. You have cold calling teams, you do marketing. Like I said, everything is sales and marketing. And so in the world of business, it's no different. You can start calling, you know what? I'm a hand doctor. That's just because we're on that. I'm going to call every doctor that focuses on hands in the United States. I want to see if they want to sell their business because I'm really good at my business, right? And you say, hey, you want to sell your business? Want to do this? Oh my God. Yeah. Thank you. I'm stressed out. I'm burnout. Or, you know, no thanks. I mean, that's one way to do it. Another way is to call a business broker that specializes in the sale of. There's business brokers that specialize in just medical aspects. Since this is the audience we're listening to, people that specialize in the sale of medical real estate, building offices for doctors and surgeons and things like that. And so really defining who that is. And then there's somebody out there that is an expert at it, and go get their, go seek their wisdom. They get a commission off the business sale, so they're going to have a vested interest in you. That's the easiest way to do it. The hardest way to do it is have what I do, is have your own team and go off market, but the better discounts come from there.
And so, but if in buying a business, what you're buying is their processes, their people.
That's it. You're buying process. That is it. And so that's what I became very good at, is my first business I brought had zero process. Let me rephrase that. It had process, zero documented process. And so it was a pool company in Arizona, and this guy ran it on a napkin, old school, knew everything about every pool, knew everything about every client, knew everything about everything in his business, except it was stored in his brain. That would mean nothing. And so what I did is I got great terms on it, seller financing, because no one else would buy it. He had no financials. And I do forensic accounting. And so I put financial statements together off bank statements. And I said, hey, I'll buy this and I need this guarantee that you have high customer concentration. If they leave, I get a discount on the property, because that's a big piece of it. He said, yeah, no problem, because no one else wanted it, because there was no documentation. And so what I did is I documented everything. I brought in softwares that allowed me to run the business, monitor all of our employees as they were out there. They had to take a photo of every pool they cleaned. They had to type in the numbers. So I was able to systemize and process this business. And then I sold it a year later.
But then it had processes for somebody who's
right. And then the person that came in was more of a shareholder type guy, shareholder CEO, as opposed to an owner operator. And a lot of these smaller businesses, they'll be owner operators because they just don't have the systems in place and they don't have the processes in place. And that's what I see a lot of people get sold this vision of, hey, you know, quit the 9-to-5 and become your own business owner. Like, really? Like, everybody listening to this knows the time we put in. And so what happened to the guy that bought it from me, he could do that. He could be a shareholder semi-passively, because it wasn't that big of a company yet, as opposed to owner, operator, CEO, janitor, you know, everything.
But after you put the processes in, that was the value you added. It was worth more to somebody. If there's anybody who's listening who knows anybody who's wanting to retire and sell their business, don't slow down. And I see it just looking at real estate, as they're like, when we were looking at it, was an auto shop. Probably they want to sell the business and the shop, and they got this idea of what the business is. But the whole business, he's like, oh, I don't want to work as much. I don't want to. He let his mechanics go. And then it was just him. And then he started working half time. And you look at the business and you're like, there's no value to this business because I'm not a mechanic.
You just killed it.
And there's no processes. So if anybody knows somebody, if it's your dad, your brother, and they're talking this way, tell them, no, no, no. Find some sort of consultant to systematize what you're doing.
That's what we do. We do that for equity, because they're talking about all these baby boomers. There's going to be trillions of dollars of wealth transfers. A lot of these baby boomers, they shut down their businesses because no one wants to buy them. A lot of people don't even know that they can sell them, right? And so this is my business. I come in, I say, hey, you know, Mike, I love your business. It's an accounting firm. You got a great clientele. I see you're getting tired. You want some time off? Let me come in, put my systems, my processes, my structures, my team in there. You get to be more of a figurehead and relationship manager of all of these clienteles you built over the years. Same thing with doctors. This is how we transition doctors out, right? Because that personal touch. And hey, let me introduce you to Zach's team. We're working with them. And next thing you know, he's irrelevant because we're doing such a great job. We're doing better. We're delivering on, obviously, this is key. You got to be able to deliver. And so they don't want to talk to the old owner. They want to talk to my team because we've created a better experience for them. But it was that handoff, that transition, where he could sort of sunset, the old owner can sort of sunset off and enjoy his life. And it's not just an abrupt stop.
Okay. And so I'm just thinking of somebody I know.
No, this is great. I love this conversation.
Who recently kind of inherited an accounting firm because they were the junior accountant. And I know it doesn't have great processes, but they're not ready to retire. Is that something you would partner on?
Oh,
and say, hey, for an equity stake, we'll come in and we'll streamline this thing and make it a machine, take all your stress away, and you'll make more money, and I'll make money, but there's going to be enough money for everybody.
Right. Because, yeah, those are people I love. Those are people I work with. And so sometimes I charge them a marginal fee on a monthly just to make sure that there's some skin in the game. But then I bring in the guns, and we have a very systematic process of doing this. First off, we get your finances in order, because if your finances aren't in order, that's the proverbial dashboard of your business. So I need to see what's coming in, what's going out, all of that, right? So we get your finances in order, we get your bookkeeping in order, we get your entity structures, we get all of your tax planning strategy. And then we move to operations. We get that very systematized. How do you onboard clients? Who do we take? How do we do this? How do we do that? Document it. And then we move to our sales process. What's your sales process? Document that. And then the last one I always do is marketing, because marketing is the faucet that you want to turn on or off. And what challenge most people have is they turn it on too quick and then they get overwhelmed and then they can't keep up with the sales process. They can't keep up with the operations. They can't keep up with the finances and it just all goes awry. So that's the last one I turn on. Now, obviously, we might turn it up a little here and there just to keep the machine primed as we're going through the rest of the process. But once you have this, one of my favorite things to hear on my morning calls with my team is, hey, Zach, I got nothing to share with you. Everything's going like it's supposed to. That's a good sign.
The first time we talked about making yourself irrelevant. I don't know if that was the term you used.
Right. It may not have been, but I love it.
But as a business owner and as doctors, that's a really hard thing because there's a lot of doctors out there who are afraid of becoming irrelevant as technology changes and stuff. But to have systems that all of a sudden you don't have to go to work or you go to work half as much as you used to, but your business is actually making more money. I think for a lot of professionals like accountants, doctors, they miss that whole thing. There's still a vision of just going in and doing all the work.
Well, we have this desire to be needed, most of us. And I have it there. It's something I work with my coach all the time. She goes, oh, Zach, you're trying to save people again. Right? It's for well, I love my coach. But it's like, yeah, it's like I go and I go do something just for the pure sake of being needed. Right? And it's like, well, there's a time and a place for it. But in the world of business, I don't want to be needed. I read this beautiful article on free agency. A lot of my team is from South America, places like Colombia, Venezuela. And my director of operations, she got sent to the United States with 2 months worth of income, not speaking Spanish or not speaking English. And she figured it out. Those are the type of people I want. I don't care where you went to school. Can you figure out? I need to get to the end zone by 3 o'clock on Friday. And I'm busy. Can you figure out the rest? And they take it and they run with it. And then I pay them very well. I think Welch, the guy from GE, I think.
Yeah, Jack Welch.
He said, until you experience it for yourself, it's like, it's just a quote. But once you experience it, you're like, oh, I get it now. He says, find great people, pay them a bunch of money and get out of their way. Something like that. Yeah. I just find it so true.
That's awesome. Well, I don't want to take up your whole day here. This has been awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. Anything else you want to share? I mean, this has just been a great...
Yeah. And so if you're a doctor out there listening, the biggest thing is there's so many people out there willing to help. But if you don't know where it is that you want to go, you're just going to keep... And this is what I struggled with for so many years is, what do I want? What do I want? And no one can help you with that. I mean, there's people that can help you figure that out because I pay coaches myself. But really define what you want and what your life looks like at the grandest vision you can. And then that's going to help you understand when you're talking to people, you can share that and it's going to give them some support to help you get that. And so there's no one way to the top of the mountain, which is the challenge for most people. But if you know what mountain you want to get to, you're going to have a lot better chances of getting there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for everybody out there. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for listening and join us for the next episode of Surgeon Syndicate.
Thanks, everybody.
This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, know other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. And number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money, I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call. We can make a plan. Looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.